Great pastors, already we have them here. Yes. Great pastors, we already have them here. Because they do slightly more than your average pastor. Your average pastor is a shepherd, somebody who comes and wait for people, doesn't check up on members. Today it was Sunday. Your members didn't come. You are not even aware they didn't come. You get it? You didn't buzz, and it doesn't say anything to you. Every week you are buzzing new people. It's a sign of weakness. If every time you are buzzing new people, you are not growing. I was saying to somebody who they've been buzzing in one area. I said, you cannot buzz the same people. These people who are in your buzz, they are supposed to be buzzing now.
That's one.
Do you understand?
Yes.
So it is upon you to pay that price. How am I going to? Because if you are going to have a successful ministry, it's going to take you to show the way. Okay. The way you're looking at me, sir, pass that part. We are supposed to submit the reports now. Let's come to prayer. How much of prayer do you invest to make a success of your own ministry? Yes, we are talking about you are a shepherd. When does your I don't know, you call them what? Bacenta.
Bacenta, yeah.
Do you have your prayer, your fasting?
Bacenta prayers.
I mean, you are the leader. Yes. You are the leader. You should have a vision to grow. You should have a vision to take over the territory. Jesus said what? Occupy until I come. Here. But you are not occupying. It's English soccer that you will sit and watch. I mean, I get shocked when I see people putting on soccer jerseys coming to church. I say, are you serious? Manchester United, Arsenal, and Chelsea. I say, oh, this African is fully colonized. Yeah, they were showing, somebody took a picture of this European. Somebody had 5 t-shirts, all of them hang on the line. He has washed all, and then the match was on. The 2 teams were playing, so he's waiting for one of the 2 to win so that he will put. So how much of prayer do you put in? Because without prayer, I can imagine my prayer life, even as a young minister. When I say, oh, we had a successful youth ministry as a young pastor, as a young minister. It didn't come because I was nice, I was preaching powerfully, and all of that. No. It came because of what?
Prayer.
Yes. It says, my house will be what?
House.
Will be called the house of prayer. Now, when prayer is not a prerequisite, we just came from a conference. Bishop loved us so much. We had Dr. Lee from the largest church coming and visiting. And he was saying, when they pray, the whole church prays. The whole church. Have you taken time to go to Mampong and say 100%? Yes. I mean, the privilege you have, most time people don't think about it. You say, oh, the whole Bacenta, we're going for prayer for a whole week. The schools are closed. Or it's December as compared to having cake and biscuits. So without prayer, we are not going to make much inroads spiritually. The children were singing Ephesians. We wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. Against what? Principalities. Against what? Powers. Against what? Spirits of high places. So our environment hosts these powers. They are there. Somebody was making an example. They say, who have made the rules? There are certain things you can't do in certain communities. So we need to change the culture and the tradition of the area. Just think about the first missionary who came to Ghana. What kind of people he found. I always get fascinated about it. I say, they had another power to come. Today we are saying we are Christians. And Ghana will claim we are Christians. 80% of Ghana. How many? 80% of Ghana, they are Christians. You have left your pagan practices. You are no longer sacrificing the tortoise. Yeah, the tortoise is giving thanks to God. Hallelujah. Because this life is being spared. We no longer sacrifice them. They were going. Yeah, they are moving freely. They know you will not touch them. Imagine somebody. So without prayer, there is very little you are going to be able to do. Are you here? Okay, while we are on prayer, I have challenged our pastors, and maybe I should challenge you. The first ministry of Jesus was casting of devils. So you have to deepen your relationship with God. Am I telling somebody? Hey, it's like it's a topic you don't like. Huh? Hallelujah. So the ability to cast devils start first with your devotion. I think we have books on devotion, isn't it? But don't forget, anyone who doesn't flow in the power gifts, your church will be small. Hey, you are too quiet. You are scaring me. I say, anyone who doesn't flow in what? In the power gifts will have what? A very small church. So part of your work should be the part where you look at yourself and say, I must be a power person. I must demonstrate the power and show forth the ability of God. Hallelujah. So evil spirits are the main reason why our communities are in trouble. And so when we talk about principalities and powers, it is upon the men of God to do what? To cast out devils. Hallelujah. Amen. To do what? Yes. Yeah, so it is upon you to cast out devils, because if you don't, people are going to have difficulties in the church. I always say to the pastors, you must sniff demons. Yeah, they are here. We'll be casting just now. If Jesus did it, it remains what? Our responsibility to do it. Are you here? Huh? Okay, let's read some few scriptures. The book of Jeremiah 6:14. A great leader grows their prayer life to a point that they are able to help their people. Hallelujah. Teaching is powerful. By the way, there are five. When you talk about the gifts that Jesus gave, is teacher, pastor, evangelist, prophet, and apostle. The fivefold, isn't it? Teaching is the greatest gift. It's superior to all of them. You cannot be any of the four without the one. So don't undermine teaching. It's very critical. Okay, if you can read Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 14. Can we read together? One, two, go. They have healed also the head of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Do you see it? So part of it is that as a shepherd, you have to start by healing. I think Bishop was telling us, how do you say it? With us, we call it four Fs. The PVCI. P for what? Visitation. Interaction. Counseling. With us, we say four F's. They are slightly different. But it's the same thing. There are four F's. The first F. Yes, the first F is what? Formation. Yes. Which is devotion. You are being formed. Yeah, Paul writes this, I labor as in childbirth until Christ be formed in you. So it remains the responsibility of the shepherd, of the pastor, number one, to make sure that Christ is formed in them, but every other of their sheep have a formation of Christ in them. So it remains my responsibility. The devotion, we have had the WhatsApp devotions and so forth. You get your people into the spirit of prayer. We have prayer every day in the morning. Every day, doesn't matter. Today, Sunday, they started at 4. All the pastors, 4 a.m., we meet, we pray online because they are in different parts, in the UK, here, in South Africa. I'm in Ghana now. So everybody is praying. We come online, we pray. From 4 to 5 is pastors. From 5 to 6 is all the workers in the church joining the pastors to pray, to prepare for the service. We are not sure if the pastor where he is, he'll be praying. So we better supervise that is happening. Monday to Monday, every day, 5 a.m. to 6 a.m., there is prayer. So devotion, formation, you call it what? Prayer. And then the second one? Visitation. Okay. The second one is what? Fellowship. The second one is family. We look at family. We want to know, how's your family? But, it's visitation. We want to know what's going on. Let's pray. I said to you, have you ever thought of your mother not being in heaven? Think about it. I know you might not like your dad that much, but think about your mother. So you take people along. How's the family? How's the relationships? Children don't have relationship with their parents because they believe their parents hates them. You know, your parents counsel and discipline you because they love you. Isn't it? Yeah, the scripture says the parents discipline their own children. Visitation. So you do visitation with the members. Can we stand? If you can stand. I see you have been awake for quite some time. Are you here? Yeah. So we said number two is visitation. Number three, finance. With us, F, the other F is finance. Did you know that most people are broke? Not because they don't have money, but they are poor planners. Yeah, financially, they'll do better. But then we do finance. Finance comes back to financing your own ministry. But we are as well interested, after we share about the blessing, we read the scripture this morning, the book of Malachi chapter 3, verse 11. What does it say? God will stop the adversary, the destroyer coming in. Now, many of us here, our finances are destroyed. The devourer has come. And some of you, it's a pity because you are faithful with your tithe. But because of lack of proper counseling, you are failing. Your own give, we were talking earlier that you are a 10 CD giver. I always ask pastors, I say, what is your biggest offering that has shocked your system? To recover, you felt like, I need God here. Because we give by faith. Do you understand? We give by what? my faith. When they are taking offering, I say $10,000, and you look the other way, and God is talking to you there. You are the last person at the back. Who are you talking to? The just shall live by what? By faith. So when we talk about finances, it's our number one enemy in the work of the ministry and in your own family. Because if this part is not sorted out, we're going to have the poor among us for many years. Okay. How many mothers do we have here? Or women who are married? One, two. My wife, I can exclude you. Three. Can I interview you? I don't want to embarrass you. Please come. One, two, three. You look very stately. I think even on the camera, you'll appear nice. Amen. Yes, we have a mic. Your husbands are here. Okay, so you'll be telling the truth. Move this way. Okay. It's just an example. We expect every Christian to pay tithes. I'm not going to ask that question. I see the husbands already are not happy. But I will leave the tithe. But during the finance part, like when you do your counseling, it's a very critical element to help God. If somebody was saying we should feel pity for God. When the work of the ministry is not moving forward, most of the time it's because there are no resources to move there. So I expect all of you to pay tithes faithfully. Hey, it's only people in front who are going.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you tell us about your eating habits in the house? What are you eating today? Have you cooked today?
Yeah. I've cooked rice and stew.
Rice and stew?
Yes.
Okay. Then what are you eating Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Give us the menu for every day.
Okay. Me, for instance, we have a shadow in the house. Normally, Mondays, yam and contemporary stew.
If I meet your children and ask them, what are you eating tomorrow? Will they tell me we are eating yam?
No, it's not like consistent. It's not all the time.
So you don't have a menu that is written Monday, Tuesday,
at
Wednesday?
At times we don't follow it, but we have.
You have?
Yes.
Can you give a clap offering for her, please? Let's give our beloved sister next door. Do you have a whole week menu? Do you know what you are eating every day?
Yes, please.
Your husband knows that Wednesday, if I ask him, what are we eating on Wednesday?
So it changes with time. Yes, it cannot be consistent.
You are making me to start to doubt if it exists.
Yes, but that it exists. I have it pasted in my kitchen.
Have you followed it?
Yes.
Consistently?
For some time, yes.
Okay, give to my sister. I have my doubts now. Yes, please. Yes, I trust you. Do you have a meal plan?
Yes, we have a menu.
Monday to Monday.
Okay.
Now, part of the thing, this is good. Can you give a powerful clap of hands? Now, part of the challenge is that we will expect you the same way as they are loyal to their meal plan. Number one on our list is God. Can you say God? We pay God. Say it. We pay God. Yeah. We do what? Did you hear the word that we used? What did we say? Pay. In other words, you owe. You pay what you owe. So can you say it again? We pay God. So we look at our total family income. We pay God, which is our tithes. The second one, most people never live to have a house. People die homeless. They've been renting, but they die what? Homeless. In other words, they still have a place to rent. Unless they go really back to their village where their ancestors come from. They'll be buried there as if it's a dignity. But most of the time, they cannot be buried in the city because they have no home in the city. Do you understand? So the second part we say, pay yourself. Can you say pay? Pay yourself. To pay yourself is to think about those kinds of things. I'll need a place to retire. Even if you are in the city, you need to think. Do you understand?
Yes.
So that whatever is left is what you are supposed to live on. In other words, you pay God, it's not negotiable. You pay yourself, it should not be negotiable as well. There should be a saving with us. I knew my children are going to go to university. So I saved for all of them. So when they reached, they passed their matric, I don't know what you call it, O levels or whatever. Uh-huh. When they passed, there was a payout of money that I've been saving over the years. It was not enough, but it was able to push first or second year. So already I'm able to push further without any difficulty. Because I've been saving all my life. And then we have had opportunities where in the church we are doing buildings and whatever. I can be able to write 100,000 and give it because I'm saving. I don't know if you understand. Then the balance, which will be 70% of our income, we can buy cars and live on it. Then you find you are having far more happier members because they've managed, most of my leaders, they don't owe their houses. You know, they used to buy a house with mortgage. They've paid off. So when you say you are helping your member, they've paid the tithes, they've paid their offering. We spoke in the morning, generosity of blessing others. When last did you give a sizable offering, not to God, not to honor your prophet, but to some of the people who the Holy Spirit led you to give? Hey, you are too quiet. It's like this doesn't exist. Do you understand? You should be led by the Spirit. There are people who are needy. There are people that God wants to honor. One woman, I was told, I was not aware, she came to church and said, Apostle will always prophesy and call people and say, the Lord has said. He says, God doesn't talk about me and God has forgotten me. It was a convention. We were in church. So when I came up to preach, I called the person by name. And I said, oh, God said it is okay with you. There's nothing to say. So the woman was shocked. She looked at the other and they were sitting, the three of them together. I said, was he listening to us? Or what? But there are people here. We have to allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit. Because if you are led by the Spirit, your advancement will be quicker. Now let's come back to this, our beloved sisters. When you plan, and this I would like to challenge you, because people who don't have a meal plan, they will not have money. You see, in my house, I know what I'm eating every day. I don't need to think about it. You can call any of my children and say, what are we eating today? They'll tell you. Tomorrow, they'll tell you. Tuesday, they'll tell you. Wednesday, they'll tell you. Thursday, they'll tell you. Friday, is the same. I was telling them in the morning, God is the same. Yesterday, a great leader is predictable. Did you hear what I said? A great leader? Yes. He doesn't deviate that much from their usual route, except when it is necessary. So when we go grocery to buy food, we buy with us, I don't know, maybe here is different, we buy for the whole month. So I know how many times I had to eat meat, vegetables. So I buy already. Vegetables, I might have to go twice or three times a month, because they are extremely perishables, and some of them, we don't keep them in the refrigeration, so we will go. So what helps is that she can make a list, give it to the husband, four of each and everything, because, do you understand? So we'll be able to save a fortune. I've sat with people, leaders in my church who are poor, because when they get money, they go and buy pizza. They buy KFC. Every day they are eating KFC. The wife will phone, honey, pick us some 5-piece of chicken. Come this way. What you are not aware is that the leader, you are becoming poorer. Because the greatest waste is food. You are working for two things. The Bible says God will bless what? Your water and your bread. It doesn't matter who's laboring. You're just laboring. I always tell our people, the day you started working, the curse came into effect. All those who are not working, they live for free. No, it's true. They are not under a curse. Genesis chapter 3, what does it say? Out of your... You will do what? Eat your bread. So what I'm talking here is about dealing with the curse of having to labor all your life to put food on your table. If we have the time, I'll tell you many things to say. I always advise our people, before you buy a house, start rental stock. And always get land, not to buy, to build a house, but to build rooms to rent. If you don't have a house now, don't plan to continue renting one room. Get the land and build two rooms. Rent it out and build as many. Make it very comfortable. You are still young. Who just got married? How many months? 8 months. Where's your wife? Okay, she's at home. Now, you don't have babies, isn't it? Not yet. So where do you stay? How big is it? I've deviated a bit from my topic, but I think it's a good one. Okay, please. Okay, so describe where you stay.
It's 10 by 4.
10 by 4. How big is your house?
A bedroom and a living room.
A bedroom and a living room. Okay. You can have 3 children in that place with no trouble. Yes, you can manage. Yes, you can have 3 kids until they turn 6, 7. And it's then that their eyes are open. They can start seeing what's happening. You understand? I'm helping my members because I want them to serve the Lord longer. Because bread and water will make you to work all your life. It's a curse. Do you understand? So from the beginning, if you are able to buy land, first room, because your big house, if it has 3 bedrooms and nobody's sleeping in it, you are wasting resources. So you do first room, second room, third room. Maybe if your land is sizable, I don't know how big stands are here, you know, you build 5, 10, and then you get an income. How old are you now? 34. You're married late. Hey, 34. You are behind. You are behind.
I need speed.
Huh?
I need speed.
You need speed. May the Lord grant you speed. Yes, because the first 6 years or so, before you have your main house, you find much of the things will be, it's going to be more expensive for you to start that way, because it means you have to stay somewhere, you have to do something, but you'll do better. Most of our people end up with one house all their life. That's what they can manage. Do you understand? But if you have more than one and people are renting, and we usually say one rooms are cheaper to rent and easy to manage than to have a big house, 3 bedrooms, and have somebody not pay you. Yeah. It's a big fight. Yeah, they cannot afford. So one. You have 10 people, 15 people staying there. You are doing well. So even when the Lord speaks to you at the right time to come into the ministry, you are able to work without having to get much remuneration from the church, because the church is not employment per se. You know, we are not looking for employees. Yeah, if you are looking full-time, you should just know that we are not looking for employees. Yeah, we are looking for workers. Do you get it? Because sometimes you are starting to develop this mindset that I need to be. So my challenge to you, you are at the opportune time. In fact, you are working, your wife as well might be working. Most of our young people are professionals. You know, the wife has a professional, the husband has a professional, a profession, so you are able. So if you cut yourself to size in the early days, you are building your ministry, your financing your ministry, you are doing the little things. By the time you turn our age, you will be doing far, 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 far much better. Thank you. Please, you can take your seat. So, financing your ministry. Yeah, please take your seat. Financing, the fourth F. The fourth F is financing. So you have to help the people to make sure that they are managing, because most people can't manage. I had a member who thought this was a testimony, but I mean, I was listening. He's a high-end earner. Like, these are highly, he's an engineer. The wife as well is a highly educated person. Their joint family income will be like 250,000 CD a month. It's not an annual salary. It's a monthly combined family income. So they are high spec. Now, the person will say, oh, you know, my car, I'm paying 25,000. And they have mortgage. I'm paying 35,000. Yes. And he was telling me he's got three kids. I'm paying for my children as well as a high-end school. You know, where you are paying 10,000 per child per month. He can afford, but something's wrong. You see, because I said, oh, why do you change your life? I could build a house for cash. Yeah, with the kind of money, I could save 100,000 every month. By the end of the year, I'll have more than enough money to start a project. But you see, the most educated don't think that much. They are people for show. Yeah, they are status. They'll buy the biggest car in town on a mortgage, on a loan, and buy the... I mean, none of those. I drive a big car, please. Do you understand? But what I'm trying to say is, don't be in a hurry. You are here to help your member to do well for the long term. Yeah, because if you have members who are able, then we are able to build more cathedrals. We are able to do much more work. We're able to bus. I don't know you understand. And it's a joy. I don't know if you know the addiction of giving. I always say people don't have the addiction of giving. Because they are not led by the Spirit. They give from their mind. I have to stimulate you. Or maybe you shout, you are cursed with a curse. Curse, oh my goodness. But we should go far beyond. Because we love God. Am I telling somebody? So that is the part. You look at the spiritual side. Every person as a shepherd in your basenta should be a tither, a giver of resources. They should help to bus. To say from this point to that point is going to cost an X amount. So I'm going to contribute a certain amount of money towards it. Are you here? And then the fourth F is fellowship. Comes back to the... Come again? Interaction, yes. So, every member of the church must belong to a group. Must participate in the life of the church. And when you participate in the life of the church, then you become healthy. Those who don't participate, demons trouble them greatly. Are you here? Are you still here? So when you look at the four F's or PVCI, all of them are critical elements of the life of the church. A great leader will make sure that he participates and demonstrates the life that is dictated to us. So from what we read, the Bible says, they have also healed the head of my people slightly. Huh? They've healed my people what? Slightly. Saying, peace, peace. But there is no peace. Can you imagine? Your member is going to live here, but they have no money for transport to go to tomorrow. And it's not like they were not. It's just that when they get the money, they misuse the resources they have. So they cannot be healed. And partly because you as a leader, you have not taken upon yourself to correct and to perfect their work. Because if you perfect and correct their work, they will love the Lord far more. I was listening to one woman who says, ever since I came to church, I'm flourishing. And so she started to give to say, when I came, this is where I was. I was sick because of the debts I had. Do you have small loan sharks? We call them loan sharks. People in the community who borrow your money and you bring it back month end. And if you don't bring it back, they take your refrigerator or television or they beat you up, you know, in some areas. Yeah, loan sharks. We call them loan sharks. They are very rude. When they borrow your money, they are very nice. Yeah, when you default, they will come for you. Eh? They call it quick credit. Huh? Or they come at you at midnight. Yeah. These are the ones I'm talking about. Now, when we don't teach our members, they'll become poor. Can you imagine? You are taking offering and it's just coins. People don't know that to build this, it takes some of our pastors a life. I know senior ministers in my country, 40 years plus, they don't have a single piece of plot just to buy plot for the church. They don't have anything. And part of it is because they themselves could not manage. They didn't have fellowship. They were not part of the life of the church. And therefore, they were not matured or made to grow. Are you here? So part of the difficulties we have is because of demonic spirits. I was talking about this. The book of Luke chapter 10, 17 to 20. The Bible says, and the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even demons are subject to us in your name. When you want to see that light has come, you see it with the life of the people. One part that shows light has come, all of us are dressed up. When we were still in the bush, we most of the time were naked. I don't know here, back home we're still fighting. Women will leave boy children naked, running without clothes because they are small boys. They are saving on napkin. Do they do it here? Yeah, it's not a good thing. I don't like it at all. If I see that, I immediately stop and call the woman to order and say, this is out of order. Do you understand? So we have to cover up. Girl children, slightly, I think there is some level. But you have to understand that when they returned with joy, that even demons are subject to us, there is something that they were doing. And I was saying, if we don't demonstrate power, we will have a problem. The Bible says, and he said to them, I saw Satan, this is Jesus. It says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. So, before we finalize that your names are written in heaven, the spirits must be what? Subject to you. So the people under your care must be free of spirits. They must be free from demonic influence. You must just have a time for prayer, for deliverance, for healing. I always say every pastor must have ventilation. You must have special. I like the early days of prophet. I have one of, I don't know if it's a tape or Makanaya, where he gives the description of his first meeting. Maybe Bishop Bruce can fill us in there, that he did a healing meeting, and somebody came and gave testimony that he was healed from a headache. Now, as a pastor, headache, Satan makes you to believe that headache is a small thing. Listen, I know people who have migraine headache. I know people who have died because of headache. Do you understand? So the ability of the church is the ability to pray for the sick consistently, as frequent as is possible. I make altar calls today. Part of the altar calls that we made is because people are struggling. So you want them to come out of the struggle. So you make the altar call, call them forward, pray with them. But Jesus was saying, make sure that your name is written where? In the book of life. It is good that demons come out, but it's not only the part that we are focusing on. Hallelujah. Now, the book of Matthew 12, 22 to 30. The Bible says, one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed them, so that the blind and the mute man both spoke and saw, and all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the son of David? Now, when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out devils or demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. So yeah, I'm encouraging you as a spiritual leader to be a very prayerful person. There's something called fasting. The Bible says when the disciples came back, they found a place where they could not cast a devil out. And they were asking Jesus, you know, how did it happen? And Jesus said what? This kind doesn't come out except by what? Are you aware that until you are intentional, you will not cast devils? Until you are intentional, you will not heal anybody. I was preaching in the church and I said, we are going to raise the dead. I prayed for dead people before. I've been to the mortuary to pray for dead people. Now, when I arrived, the parlor, the director, I came with the parent of the child. I had a young boy in the church. You know, sometimes preaching rough in the church, the children are listening to you. So I said, oh, if there is anyone dead, you must call me. I'll raise them up. So the boy, the cousin was knocked by a car. The child died, like on Monday. So Tuesday or Wednesday, the news reached the boy family. They were cousins. So Wednesday, we had prayer in church. So Wednesday night, this boy comes and holds me by hand and say, Apostle, my cousin is dead. Can we go and raise him up, please? Yeah. I've done this 4 times already. Yeah. You know, when a man is dead, it's like, have you had a chicken that you buy, a whole chicken? What shops do you buy your groceries? Oh, you have ShopRite. Uh-huh. The chicken is so cold, you know, frozen. So when I put my hand on the chicken, it's frozen. When I put my hand on the head of the dead man, they pull the fridge out, you know, they are in trays. Mercy. Ice cold. The funeral parlor was standing like this. One time when I went to pray for the dead, this was a woman who passed on. And I went to pray for this woman. And I started, they had a blanket covering up to somewhere here. So I was praying. You know, when you pray and you are zealous, you shake. I mean, you do all the things. So as I was praying, Shabakaba. In the name of Jesus, the blanket started to go down. And when the blanket was going down, I noticed there were stitches for post-mortem. Hey, Bishop, my mind, because When we were in Bible school, our Bible school used to take pastors to the mortuary because they were teaching us to wash dead bodies to help the dead. Because in the days past, the dead were washed by the family. Yeah, at home. So most people were afraid of their own dead. So the pastor must help during that time. So when I saw the stitches, I knew the brain and whatever. There are somewhere, yeah, all the intestine and, oh, mercy. I say, Lord, what did I bring myself into? Yeah, this is dead, dead. Yeah, twice as dead. No chance for resurrection. Oh, you are a pastor. You are a man of faith. Yes. Listen, they are already dead. There's nothing more you can do. I always say, if somebody is a cripple, is on a wheelchair, they are on the wheelchair. The only thing is to raise them up from the wheelchair. And if they don't rise, you have not lost or gained anything. The only part that you have gained is that you are bold enough. The problem you have is that you look at it from the negative side, as if you are the healer. Are you the healer? Have you died for anyone? Have you ever raised anybody? Have you healed anyone? So why should it be a problem? Yeah, so if I'm going to pray for people, I remove myself from it. You get it? Somebody, I was in another convention preaching, which is a pastor friend. So I was giving testimony of the resurrections and the praying for the dead. And somebody went on the internet to post it, you know, to say, this pastor takes himself too serious. You get it? So I said to one pastor, I said, oh, try and go to the mortuary. Let's see. Try and do it. Yeah, I said, try. Go and talk to the parents and say, I'm going to raise the dead. Okay? Will you give me the privilege to pray for my father in the Lord was praying for somebody to rise from the dead. And, you know, you pray silently in your heart. You know, most of you are like that. Shakabalaba, shakabayanda. So, but the casket they bought is big, can't fit on the hole. So he said, when I saw he can't fit on the hole, it's a sign. I'm going to pray for him. Because they had to start digging again. You know, in the village, their graves are very narrow as compared to cities, because in the cities they use the size of the biggest caskets. Yes, if the casket is 1.25, most of the holes will be 1.3, 1.4. So he started praying. So what I'm trying to say is that when you have no courage, there's nothing you can do for God. You won't cast the devil. No, you won't heal anybody. As a minister, as a shepherd, you must be intentional. Benihin doesn't become Benihin by not being intentional. Healing Jesus is healing the miracles. Maybe you don't attend Healing Jesus meetings. It's very funny how prophet does it. He will just stand there and say, let's pray. And then you'll see people being taken forward. In the church, when we pray, we lock the doors because demons, immediately we start. If I say this is a healing service, we are casting devils here, they know they have to lock the doors. Because immediately you start, demons manifest. People are going to do what? Run out. So for their safety, you keep them inside. They better run over the chairs. I was casting a devil with some friends as a young minister. And I'll say to all the young people, make the decision that your meetings, signs and wonders should follow. Hey. We were friends. We had three days of prayer and fasting, Bishop. And then we went to a school that we used to pray to with this friend of ours. Because we realized that he had the demon. So we said, we'll cast the demon. We'll help him. So we arrived, locked the door, and started praying. But the man jumped went through the burglar. You know the burglar. How the head went in is a mystery. Do you understand? The way he ran, jumped. I mean, it's not, you're talking, we're children. It's not like we're grown-ups. The school, if you are sitting down, you can't see outside. But he jumped and he said, went through the burglar, the body inside the building. Hey. Yeah, you are stuck. So you have to pray to get him out. So what I'm saying is that without prayer and fasting, you'll just be a very good teaching minister. This is why I say, if you look at prophet when he's praying for the sick, there's no effort. So why do you want to put effort to it? Ask your neighbor, why do you want to put effort into it? I see it's a subject you don't like. Let me move on. I said to the pastors, you must have serious intentions to see people delivered. You know why people hate prophets? Because all people go to them. Do you understand? I don't think you understand. Yeah. The late Dr. Yonggi Cho is on record. He says people are oppressed already, and they know. They are looking for a helper. And so they'll go anyway. Yeah, they'll go anywhere. So there must be an effort from the point of the church and from you as the leader to pray for your people. Are you here? To pray for what? For your people. Because if you don't, there's going to be a problem. Can we stand, please? I see you look like you want to sleep on me. Huh? I thought I'm preaching good. Huh? Seriously. So my challenge to you is the same, that if you are going to move forward, you have to be serious. Hallelujah. So leadership is about doing it. Can you say leadership is about doing it? You have to work on yourself for things to come to pass. The 3 days of prayer and fasting. I always love when we attend the flow prayer Tuesday and Friday, how prophet intentionally leads the prayer. And sometimes I have this mind, how many of you Lighthouse people are attending? Because I can see us who are far, who are attending. You know, you go on YouTube, I can see. You go to Facebook, you can see. And they will always say, oh, wake up your friend. So leadership is about doing what? Doing it, not postponing it. Are you here? The book of Matthew 20:22. But Jesus answered and said to them, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink up the cup that I'm about to drink? And be baptized with the baptism that I'm about to be baptized with? They said to him, we are able. Can you say we are able? Yeah, the level of work that have to be done in terms of the basenters, the branches, there must be an intention on your part. Leadership is about doing it. May the Lord help you. Amen. Leadership is stretching. You have to be stretched to do it. In other words, we are going to take you to places you are not ready to go. Your skills can only be grown by the challenges that you face. I don't know if you are aware. Yeah. But most of us like comfort. If they change you, you feel very short-handed that they don't like you that much. Matthew 12:49-50. You have to be stretched to make it. You have to be what? Yes, we have to stretch you. You know, tannery, how they turn the leather to make it softer. Have you seen how they do it? In my village, we had tenors. Oh, to make ropes, to make ladder, they really work. They turn it, put it in the water, turn it, put until it's soft. The person who's turning it smells. Yeah. Yeah, they smell. So you have to understand that as a minister, there will be moments when people are thinking you smell because the things you depend, you demand of them might not be nice. This is why sometimes people say leaders are not nice. They will speak ill of leaders. When the Pharisees were upset with Jesus because he was casting out devils, it's because they cannot do it. They are incompetent to do it. Prophet has taught us, don't criticize prophets. Don't criticize anybody. Because we want the prophetic ourselves. We want big churches ourselves. We want the crowd ourselves. Hey, I can see there's no amen here. So he says, and he stretched out his hand towards his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brother, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother. Do you understand? So, we have a much bigger, better family when we are stretched. Hallelujah. Here I am, I'm in Kumasi. Without prophet, I will not be here. So I've been stretched. Yeah. I've been stretched. Imagine somebody. Yeah, I've been stretched. When I go home, I have to do more. I was telling them that I'm not coming if I've not achieved 1, 2, 3, 4. So in other words, immediately I land, I should start working to make sure that I have a good report. Are you here?
Yes.
Mercy. Consistency and focus will help you to rise. There are people who are not consistent. And if you are not consistent, you will not have much. I like the Dr. Lee from the largest church, the Yoito Full Gospel Church. What did he say? He says he wakes up every day at 3 a.m. He reads the Bible 8 times a year. Can you believe it? I was saying to myself, I'm really lazy. The man with the largest church doesn't sleep much. And he has built consistency. Imagine somebody. He has built what?
Consistency.
This is why we say you must be reliable and predictable. Your members should know this time pastor is praying. If I go to church, if I go to his house, pastor is doing what? He's praying. May the Lord have mercy. The Bible tells us, which of you building a tower will not count the cost? So to go up, it takes effort. Can you say it? To go up, it takes effort. The other part, we don't pray into leadership. Some people are thinking, oh, I'll just pray. There are books, 100 plus books that prophet has written for us. 100 plus books. In our church, we read the books. We make study groups. We discuss the books. You read chapter 1 and 2. Make a summary. Chapter 3 and 4, make a summary. Chapter 5 and 6, make a summary. And then when we meet, we say, 1 and 2, tell us. We have read ourselves, but we want your summary. So by the time we finish, you have done much more than the traditional, because most of us don't like preaching. I think this conference, Bishop was just exposing us how little we know. That even though the book is small, we wouldn't touch it. Hey! Are you here? May the Lord have mercy. The other part that is important, I don't know how much time I have. Run with patience. The journey is long. You must remember Elijah. You remember Elijah? Threatened by a woman. Can you believe it? A great prophet. A woman says, it will be so. If I catch you, I'm going to slaughter you like you did the prophets. Hey, the man started running. So there is something that is very important that you need to be, to run the race with patience. You will grow. I think Lighthouse is a good example, because we hear on the stories, the chronicles of UD, that there were small churches. Look where we are today. Yeah. 2016, 2017, we did the tour of Accra. They were building quite a number of cathedrals around Accra. Those cathedrals are big. And I think the people were saying, this is small, they are wasting their time. This is why we say, we run with what? With patience. Everything that is healthy grows. Can you say it? Everything that is healthy grows. Yeah. So if it's not growing, something is not healthy. It's abnormal. Imagine somebody. The book of Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with what? With patience, with endurance, with patience, the race that is set before us. So the race is set. I think you have targets. What do you call it? It's targets. Yes, we have to run towards the finish line. You cannot achieve, you cannot be great until you understand that the race is long. It's not the people who sprint faster who always win the race. Have you discovered? In life, it seems like tortoises have the endurance than the rabbit. The fact that somebody is in front of you doesn't mean they will arrive. I've seen it. You might be written off, but if you are patient, I'm telling you, you are coming home. Oh, yes. You will arrive. Amen. People will be shocked that you are there. So your patience will pay off. So you need to be understanding that, oh, it's taking time, but it will come to pass. Yes, when you look at it, it might look like, Bishop is shouting at me every day. But it's not like it's a shout. It's an encouragement. Come home. We have a saying in our language that even the cow, the last one, you know, the old one that always comes at the back, will as well come through into the crawl. It doesn't matter how long it takes, it will come. So I'm saying to you, don't compare yourself with any other of the shepherds or of the pastors. I'm not saying be lazy. I'm not saying have excuses. We know that an anakazo man doesn't accept the conditions or the standards that are set before you. You push further and deeper. Hallelujah. Amen. And then maybe let me finish with this. The character of the leader. Hallelujah. Be ready to share your leadership. Great leaders develop other leaders. If you want to see the greatness of Prophet Bishop Doug Howard Mills, just look around how many bishops he has. Don't be the only superpower. Don't be the great man of God or woman of God. Let others be ready to take over. I think during the conference, Prophet told us, have a very good alternative on standby. Yes, on your bench. And at any time, surprise people by changing them. Tell your neighbor, we'll soon surprise you. We will change you just now. Yeah, just tell them, we'll change you just now. You know why we change people? Number one, we change people who are doing better and who are great at their work. Because we don't want them to sit on their comfort. There's more to go for. So we change them to push them to the higher gear. And we change those who are not doing well so that they will not be discouraged that they are failures. So we move you from one section to the other so that yourself also can make a great success. Are you here? Number two, it takes skill to lead, to guide, and to govern. It's not everybody who's able to do, but you have to develop your skills. You have to learn to be guided We usually say, those who lead are led. Did you hear what I said? Those who lead are led. So no one will lead without being led. Somebody must be connected to somebody to be able to make a success. Are you here? The book of Psalm 78:72 says, he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart. Hallelujah. May it be you. And he says, and he guided them by the skillfulness of what? Of his hands. So you must be skilled to lead. And lastly, a man of honest report. Can you tell your neighbor, you must be a man, a woman of honest report. We were doing the mega church and we were talking about numbering. Huh? Number one is what? Type one, physical. Don't exaggerate. How many people were there? No, there were 500. Yet there were five. Back home, we call it elastic counting. You are stretching things. They don't exist. Are you here? So, be a man of honest report. The book of Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 3 gives us that understanding. Amen. Amen. So I want us to take some prayers, to pray for yourself, to pray for us, that we will have the integrity. We said when we started the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, you must be a man of integrity. You must take your ministry seriously. You must go to the next level. Your level of sacrifice must be an example to those that are following you. If there is prayer, you should be the first one to arrive. If there is all-night prayer, don't come halfway into the night or when you are no longer leading, get into your car and disappear. Say, tomorrow I have an important meeting in Tamale, so I must leave now. Imagine somebody. You must be the one who's really seen to be doing the work. Follow me as I follow Christ. Become the example you want others to follow. Can we come before the Lord as we pray that, Lord, may I be a man and a woman of integrity. May I be a great, powerful steward. Can we come before the Lord as we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, even this evening. We exalt your name. We pray for ourselves that, Father, our location, our position, our power, and privileges will not confuse us, that we'll stay on course. I pray today in the name of Jesus that the Lord will remain responsible to the responsibilities that are given to us, that we'll remain loyal and faithful, that, Father, we will avoid offenses, for the offenses are at the door, that there are many things that will challenge where we stand. I pray today, O Father, that we'll be men who lead, who guide, and who governs with integrity and with honor. Father, we commit ourselves before you that, Lord, we'll be honest in our reporting, that we'll be men of honest report. Father, we pray even today, as your word, Lord, teaches us in the book of Acts chapter 6, that, Father, they chose man called Stephen, a man of integrity, a man of prayer, a man who feared God. Father, we pray even today that this grace will come upon our life, that the power of God, Lord, will be seen upon us in the name of Jesus. We have prayed. I want us to pray for financing our ministry, that we be men and women who will be sacrificial. Sacrifice, I use the word, those who succeed in their younger years has a potential to succeed later. Bishop was teaching us that I think his father told him that between 13 and 20, 21 or 25, the things that you do within that age are the things that will carry you later in the future years. And I've seen it with my own life. The things I learned as a young person, I knew I was going to be a pastor at 16, 17. I got born again at 16. Around 17, I knew I was going to be a pastor. My labor in preaching the gospel and all of that in my youthful years have continued to multiply in my adult years. And the same is true with you. So I want us to come for us to pray. There are two scriptures I want us to read. The book of Exodus 18, the Bible says, Jethro looked at Moses, says, this work will kill you. It says, commit this man to faithful men, men that fear God, men that hate covetousness. It says, commit these things to them. And the second one, the book of Acts chapter 6, the Bible tells us that Stephen was chosen together with others. It says, choose among you faithful men, men that fear God. I want us to pray for ourselves that God will help us to be good and faithful servants, that we will finance our own ministry, that the level of our sacrifice will not be lip service, will not be what? But we'll give the best of ourselves to God, the best of our prayer time, devotion time, waking up early to pray, staying awake, having prayer and fastings, taking our basantes, our branches into prayers, challenging ourselves to higher levels in our teaching, becoming reliable and faithful persons. Hallelujah. Can we come before the Lord as we pray together? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, even today we pray the book of Exodus chapter 18. Oh, Father, as Jethro gave advice, Father, to Moses that this thing will kill you. Grow leaders, mature leaders of 10, leaders of 50, leaders of 100, leaders of thousands. Father, we pray that we may build capacity, that we may grow those around us, that, Lord, we may multiply. Father, we pray that we will choose among us Stevens that are among us, oh Father, men that are faithful, men that are reliable, men that are loyal, men that shows integrity. We thank you, Lord, for the power and the grace of your Spirit. We pray for our devotion, oh God, that our life will be fully given unto you. We break every stronghold and every limitation that we have brought to ourselves. Set us free, oh God. Deliver us from the power and the works of the enemy. Set us free, oh God. May your grace, oh Father, come upon us. I lift up your name, oh Father, even today, that, Lord, you will do new things. That grace, wisdom, ability of God will come upon us. We thank you, oh Father, even this day, in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we pray. Let a bossa kiara bossa come out. Rabba kaba yende recho de bossa. Let a bossa kiara bossa. Let a kiara bossa yende de beyanda. Let a bossa kiara recho de yanda. Oh, Holy Spirit, we pray. Father, move us, oh God. May the power of your Spirit rest upon us, oh Lord. We pray even today. Let a bossa kiara bossa. Let a bossa kiara bossa. Let a bossa kiara bossa come out. Let a bossa kiara recho de bossa. Let a bossa kiara recho de bossa. Let a bossa kiara bossa kiara. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, work your work upon us. Work your power upon us. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let a bossa kiara bossa come out. Rabba kiara bossa kiara bossa. Let a bossa kiara recho de bossa. Let a bossa kiara bossa kiara bossa. Let a bossa kiara bossa kiara. Father, we worship you. Let a bossa kiara bossa kiara. 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 Father, we worship you. We give you praise. Even now, in Jesus' name. Can we go together to the book of Hebrews? Or maybe let's start with the book of Corinthians to come before the Lord as we pray. Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 17 says, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is Lord, there is liberty. Hallelujah. And then verse 18 says, But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So we are coming to say, Lord, help us to become buttresses. This building has pillars. Are you aware? Oh, yeah. I can see where the pillars are. May the Lord make you a pillar.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible says David was sitting with the man and he said he longs for the water. Hey, the men that were with him, they said, what? And before he knew it, the water was delivered. And he says, I will not take the water. So we're going to pray that may God give us the grace to buttress, to stand along with our bishop. Hallelujah. That when Bishop Patrick calls and we are laboring, we are bearing fruit. We are doing what? We are bearing fruit. We should be matching the same orders. Hallelujah. We should be doing great exploits. We should be achieving the highest heights. Hallelujah. If there is any sacrifice, we should be the one achieving those sacrifices. Hallelujah. They said to David, we are with you. And here we read, the Bible gives us that understanding. The Lord is the Spirit. There is a scripture in the book of Numbers. The Bible says, the Spirit of Moses entered into the leaders. The Bible says, choose among you 70 men that you know to be leaders. May the same grace come upon you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. May we not look for you in the day of battle. Yeah. May you never be sought. Yeah. May it not be a struggle. If there is a burden to be carried, it should be you. Hallelujah. Amen. One day I was taking an offering in the church. The Holy Spirit said to me, take offering only from pastors. So I had two offering baskets, one for pastors and one for the congregation. Hey, you can see how far the burden the pastors carry. What do you think? How much was the pastor's offering? You'll be shocked that pastors don't give much. I've watched it. Did you hear what I said? They don't do what? They don't give much. So part of our struggle is to come to the Lord and say, Lord, may we be the ones, the pillar. You see this building? These pillars are holding the building. They are strong. They are dependent. They'll be here tomorrow when we come. Ask your neighbor, what kind of a leader? Huh? The strength of this building is dependent as well on each and every brick. But some bricks are more strategic than others. What kind of a brick are you? So we're going to pray to God that God may help us. So when I took the offering from pastors, that's when I realized that there is an offense. They will not honor the same altar they are saving. Very little offerings. Very little what? Very, very, very little offerings. So I want us to come before the Lord to pray for ourselves, to say, Lord, we pray that may our altar... Let's go to the book maybe to help you. The book of... Genesis chapter 12. Are you here? 1, 2, 3, and then we'll go to the bottom part. The Bible says, now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to the land which I will show you. I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great, and you shall be called a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I'll curse him who curses you. And in you, all the earth, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Hallelujah. Are you here? Praise the Lord. Verse 7. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, to your descendant I'll give this land. And there he built what? An altar to the Lord. Are you aware that every altar that is being built demands what? Sacrifices. Abraham didn't build one altar. No. He littered the whole land with what? With altars. His place of prayer, his place of sacrifice was everywhere. So I want you to come before the Lord, that Lord, give me the grace. The Bible says, and there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. He did what? He built another altar. So you are an altar builder. Tell your neighbor, you are an altar builder. Yeah. When you read chapter, the Bible tells us the same Genesis, that chapter 22. The Bible says, Isaac said to the father, I see the fire, I see the wood. Where is the sacrifice? Tell your neighbor, I see the fire. I see the wood. Where is the sacrifice? Yeah. Many of us, what we give is very small. That's why I say, when I took the offering, and I said, I had to return two of the offerings of the pastors because they were in the envelope. When I looked at the area, there was no faith. There was no what?
Faith.
Yeah. Faith didn't exist. They were carnal, natural men. They are not men of sacrifice. They are not men of altars. Their sacrifice doesn't move heaven. Are you here? Huh? So, what did Isaac say? He says, I see what? Verse 6, it says, Abraham took the wood and the fire. Let's go to the verse. And Abraham called on the name of the God and the Lord. Okay, I've jumped my verse. Verse 6. Verse 6 says, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offerings and laid it on Isaac and his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. Because Isaac has been to many offerings. Isaac has been to many altars. And what has he witnessed? There is always what? A lamp. For what? For sacrifice. But his father, in the morning we couldn't reach here. But his father took him further and said, you are. Can you tell your neighbor, you are the lamp. Huh? You are? I see you are not talking. You don't like this part. Yes. Look at your neighbor and say, you are the lamb. Okay, let's read verse. Let's read verse 7 together. One, two, go. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for burnt offering? Look at your neighbor and say, you are the lamb for burnt offering. Hey. But I can see you are not ready for the sacrifice. Abraham, what did he say? He says, the Lord shall provide for himself a lamb. Was Abraham not aware? Huh? Was Abraham not aware who was the lamb? Abraham was looking at him and said, oh, you are a fat one. You are the one that the Lord desires to have. Huh? There is a song that the choir likes singing. Whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. Don't do it without... Do you know the song? Let's sing together. Lord, whatever you're doing in the season, don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. Most people will sing the song, but their heart. Whatever you're doing in the season, don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. And then the Lord says, here's the fire. Here's the wood. And then you are looking around to say, my neighbor, Lord. So we're going to take the prayer. They say, I am my son. Look, the fire and the wood. And where is the lamb for the burnt offering? But Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. And the two of them went together. Now, let me show you the willingness of sonship. Prophet was saying he was going to teach us about sonship. I was waiting for it, but I realized that, this time is running too fast. Are you here? Verse 9 says, and they came to the place of which God has told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Now, let's talk about the sacrifice. Did he squeal? Did he fight? How do you think he got on the wood? Huh? Yeah, he took himself up. He was a willing sacrifice. He was what? Are you a willing sacrifice? You're doing in the season.
Don't do it without me.
Provided it doesn't affect me, Lord. Don't do it without me. As long as I'm not in it, Lord. Don't do it. You can do it. Hallelujah. Then he laid himself up there. And his father was a very old man. He tied him because he had faith. The father had what? The father had what? Do you have faith? I want us to come before the Lord as we pray that, Lord, may I be what? The living. May I be the lamp. You can be. You cannot be a great pastor, a great shepherd who's still alive. You must be dead. Can we come before the Lord as we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, even tonight. We lift up your name as Isaac cried out. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father. He said, Father, look, the fire and the wood. Where is the lamb for the offering? Father, we come before you tonight as leaders. Lord, we say we are a willing sacrifice. Your word says if you are willing and you are obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Father, we come like Isaac of old. Lord, we lay down ourselves in prayer. The Lord, if there is any sacrifice, Lord will be the sacrifice even tonight. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for your power. We thank you, Lord, for your wisdom. We thank you, Lord, for your grace upon us. Turn our life towards you. Father, redeem us. Father, save us from ourselves. As leaders, oh Father, we pray. that it is required, Father, those who serve to be faithful, Lord, may I be a true sacrifice. May my life be laid. May my life be given. Even tonight, we thank you, Father, for the grace. We thank you, Father, for the power of your Holy Spirit. Turn our life towards you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.